Hello again, guys, and welcome to your caffeinated podcast where we will give you the best cup of joe. I'm joined here, and I would like to welcome an incredible photographer who has come a long way from an intern at the break to Naked Peach Boudoir photography and is now a budding and accomplished photojournalist on the ground in Portland, Oregon, documenting the stories that are unfolding before us as we so see fit. Welcome, Allison Barr.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure to just connect and just having you on the podcast. I mean, I'm pretty persistent, but it's always a pleasure to see another photojournalist really documenting the chaos that's unfolding in our country.
Yeah, it's been a wild couple of weeks, especially for Portland. So,
oh, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
When it comes to what you, when it comes to the world of photojournalism, what do you find to be the most therapeutic for you?
Photojournalism is so interesting, and I'm so infatuated and obsessed with it. And I think that something like I've been doing photography for, what is it, probably 12 years now. And like a lot of that was in high school and growing up. And I think the whole time I really wanted it took me a long time to find my voice and my what I was really drawn to. And I think the thing about photojournalism that I love that is therapeutic, like you said, is like being able to meet so many amazing people and tell their stories. And just it just kind of feels like giving being able to give a platform to a lot of people through the thing I love. So yeah, I love like stuff even that is pretty emotionally draining, like the ICE protests would be a good example. It feels very fulfilling and very natural for me. And yeah, it's extremely therapeutic in that way. Just being able to do what I love and help other people. So,
because yeah, as a I definitely relate to you on that end where you kind of get to, it's like you know, that heart palpitating movement of, oh my gosh, I have to avoid this, I have to avoid that, but you're kind of just in it. And do you also get the best way, you've seen the movie, oh my gosh, Not Dream, Not Hope, what's it called? It's with, it's the guy that he plays the piano, if I'm correct. It's the Pixar movie.
I don't know. Wait, tell me more. He plays the piano?
He plays the piano. Basically, the whole thing in it is that...
Oh! Is it Soul?
Soul, yes.
I've not seen it, but yes, I know what you're talking.
You would under... Okay, you need to watch Hope, or Soul, because it is such a... There is this moment where you lose yourself in doing your passion, where everything just disappears, and you're just in it. And it's just you doing what you love, and then you, like... When you're done, you kind of get back to reality and you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's when I think you know you are kind of born to do it, as if it kind of comes secondhand and you really, really love it. So, yeah, it's really fun to talk to other photojournalists. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Yeah. And you've been doing this for how long? Yeah.
Photojournalism, maybe 5 years. Yeah. But photography overall for like probably 12 now that I'm doing the math. So yeah.
Well, we both got 12 on it, don't we?
Yeah. What was your start in your, like, how did you get into photojournalism and your path?
I'd like to say that I kept in photography at my university. They don't really pigeonhole you into anything aside from being an artist, not a photographer, an artist. And unfortunately, when you go to a BFA, I was assuming that you're going to learn all different aspects of photography. No, you have to go and seek them out yourself. You're going to be taught to hang photos and be an artist, a juried artist of sorts, not a photographer, like to make money doing photos and going and doing events. You have to go and do that. I learned that myself. But what I realized is looking back as a photojournalist on my work is I was interested doing photojournalism without realizing it was photojournalism. To where
same. Yeah.
You're starting to shoot those types of lighting scenarios. You're starting to cater to those types of angles and those types of scenarios that you just naturally are drawn to. And you may not know it's photojournalism, but you just know that you enjoy it. And it took a whole 4 years for me to realize, holy crap, I like this. And then that's what kind of was the budding thing that was like, hey, go photograph, you know, why can't I just, instead of going to a Tim Walz rally, I'm just going to go photograph it, because why not? And from the moment on, I was like, oh, I was born to do this, because, oh, I had so much energy. And it was just like the next thing, and the next thing, and the, you know, that feeling where you first get your first pass to go and be the media. You're just like, it's like a fire gets lit inside, and you're like, well, it was nice knowing you all.
Yeah. I still get so excited. I have like, I have everything hung up that I've ever had, or ever, any pass I've ever gotten is hung up in my room. It's still like so exciting for me. But yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah, they're over there. But no, that just kind of reminds me, wait, you were, yeah, like not knowing that you love photojournalism without the language for like what it was, that reminds me, like I said, I did photography for a long time, and it was like very like creative, like I wanted to be an editorial photographer. But then I realized like the root of everything I loved to shoot in that style was like, wait, like women, and like women of all, like to like ways to empower women, which I realized was just like documenting honestly like a social issue. And like, I just realized that I loved like making art that had more of like a statement. And then that kind of led me into photojournalism. So, and like, I just love documenting and like trying to help people through that. So I found that to be like my path when I was figuring everything out. And then doing a lot of that led me into photojournalism. I was like, okay, that's what I was trying to do the last, you know, 8 years. This is what I was trying to get to. So yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting that you make that same connection, because I also wanted to get into editorial photography. And I was doing the very same thing, where I was interested in the concept. I did a piece, it's not on my website yet, but it's a piece of a boudoir photography. But then I took a warning sign and I photoshopped on top of the body. So it says warning, and it's on top of the body, and it's on top of a woman's body, which is really, you know, it's very decisive and, or divisive, my bad. And you're going to really think about that, and not just think about the body, but think about, wait, why is it a warning sign on top of it? And I was starting to make connections to these social issues that I wanted to, you know, critique and all that. But then it started to kind of like, I was like, you know what, commercial photography, not my kind of thing. I mean, I can do it. We can all do it. But it's just not like, it's like, I want to document, I want to tell a story.
Yeah. Like, doesn't, like, you have the skills, but doesn't fill your cup up in the same way.
Exactly. You know, you can have all the light, you can have everything under control, but it's like, this isn't enough. Give me something else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I feel that 100%.
So, you know, you do a lot of photojournalism, you're covering the ICE protests. How do you manage to, like, compartmentalize a lot of the things that you see? Because I mean, we both have been there. I'd covered the election, you covered the election, you're covering the ICE protests. I wish I could, but I'm actually grateful that they're not in Pittsburgh just yet. Sure they will.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so how are you compartmentalizing it and like coming to terms that you can't, you're helping them, but you can't go and be a part of that story, and you have to somehow document it in a way that, you know, you're still responsible, but how you come to terms with the whole, you know, with the way that you frame your images, you know, it's got to become overwhelming. And how do you manage to work through those pasts, you know, those points, and, you know, beyond just moving past it?
Wait, okay. So, do you mean like how, when you say compartmentalize, if I could say that word, that'd be cool. Like how I like work, and then what do I do to go home and like not have it, like, do you mean like mental health wise, or like
the mental health like how do you manage to take it all in and not let it entirely, like, it's like watching the news, but I mean, we are the news.
Yeah, that it's interesting, because I love news. That's, you know, I'm like a news nerd, so I am like very like anytime I have downtime, I am reading about it. I'm trying to like learn new things. I'm, if I'm not out shooting, but I'm on the clock, I'm like reading news articles. So it does feel like my whole world. And then when I go to the protests, like I'm really lucky that the publication I work for, we are taking shifts. So it's not like I'm down there every single day. I think if I was in the very beginning when the National Guard was first threatened to come to Portland, I was down there almost every day. And it felt very draining, but in a weird way, I felt like really, I mean, I think it's, I think it's an unfortunate situation, and like maybe cut this part out if you can, but like, I can't really say bias, right? But as a journalist, but especially if I'm working for a paper, but I think like, okay, you can cut this, we can go back, but like, the National Guard coming in is like something that, or the threat of them, right, is something that is really scary for a lot of people. It's, what am I trying to say? I feel it's almost like knowing I have a sense of responsibility to showcase what's really happening in Portland and how people are reacting and how it's affecting people almost like takes more precedent in my mind than being like it doesn't like the okay how emotionally tolling it is almost feels insignificant because I feel more honored to be able to give people a voice through it. So like it's almost more thrilling for me in a way because I love what I do so much that like yeah I'll go home and I'll be exhausted and I'll do like the natural like decompressing things like watch Netflix and, eat ice cream or whatever I do. Like that's like the physical things I do. But as far as like it does feel like my world like all the time. It does feel all consuming. But I'm almost more excited and thankful that I have the opportunity to do what I do. And that is more prominent than like the drain and like emotional toll I feel on it. So I think I just kind of focus more on like how and like other people's stories, like other people are getting hurt at the protests, and people are obviously affected by ICE and losing their family members and like stuff like that, that I feel is much more important than my being exhausted at the end of the day. I just do the little things for me, like I said, like I just will watch TV or play Animal Crossing, honestly, and then try to sleep a lot, and then I'm ready to go the next day. So I think of it more as like an honor than a chore.
To where it's very similar to, it's like at least you have that opportunity to go and experience the same thing that these people are undergoing. And nobody would know what they're going through if you weren't of, you wouldn't have been there. You wouldn't have, someone wouldn't have been talking to them because, not just somebody's voice matters, it's they all matter.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I just feel like something I think about a lot is like the importance of media and why journalism and media in general is so important. And so like it just feels when I'm out there in the field and like maybe some scary things are happening and whatnot, like that all comes like second because I just get such I feel so fulfilled when I get to talk to people and I get to like highlight their voice through like this. I work for the state's biggest paper, which is like such an honor. And so I feel like I am really getting to do something really cool and important by talking to people and getting to highlight their feelings and their experiences with what's happening in the country. So yeah, it feels I love it. Which feels privileged, but I feel very lucky to do what I do. So
I mean, you have managed to come a very long way. I mean, you were an intern. You started out as an intern for a TV series, if I'm correct.
I've done a lot of interning. Like I've had a lot of opportunities. So there's a lot. Yeah, I came a long way, it feels, and it feels exciting to finally have gotten like a job that feels very perfect for me. But I've dipped my toes into a lot of like TV, film, publication, music stuff, because I've just been so hungry to do anything in the field. So,
What would you
yeah.
say that of those experiences that you have dipped your feet into, which one prepared you the most? And what was the, like, which one was the hardest to get but which one was also just as rewarding despite how hard it may have been?
Oh, something I'm really proud of, and this was like years ago. This was before I graduated college, so I like hardly think about it. But I think the internship that was like, or the experience that was the hardest for me to get before the job I have now. I worked very hard to get the staff job I have now, but I interned at Billboard magazine in New York in Times Square. And that is like complete opposite of what I do now, because it was like very editorial, but that felt really, really amazing. And I felt very lucky and emotional to like be like working. That was probably, yes, that was the first time I got paid to work for a publication, which felt like so exciting for me to be in a room, like in an office, surrounded by what I love, like all day, every day, which was just working in media and working for publications. And then on top of it, like Billboard, it was obviously a super competitive internship. Then I lived in New York and I for it, and it was amazing. And I'm really proud of it. And then I think like as far as what prepared me for my role now was I did a lot of freelance photography around photojournalism around Portland before I got a staff position. And that taught me the most about newsrooms. Well, hold on. No, that taught me the most about photojournalism. And then once I got hired as a staff photographer, I learned a lot about working in a newsroom. And I love working in a newsroom. But like freelancing, as you know, is like, you're mostly by yourself and you're just sent to go do things, which is cool. But like the community aspect of working at a paper, like working full time at a paper, is like truly amazing. There's like nothing like it. So yeah, probably those two things I worked hard for. And the photojournalism around Portland and having to be ready to go to things on at the drop of a hat is like, and working on deadline and, you know, all this stuff for the first time really was very much a learning experience for me. A very helpful one.
That's incredible, because I mean, I don't have that much experience there, but I mean, the freelance market is very lucrative, especially in Pittsburgh, because it's always, everyone's a photographer. Not that it's a bad thing, but it's also like highly competitive. So I'm curious on like, I don't know what you know of where I'm at and whatnot, but I can tell you that my university did not prepare me whatsoever. And at least we both collectively know that.
Yeah.
So when it comes to other students or possibly younger people than that, or even older people that are listening, what are some advices that you have for parents, loved ones, or even the kids themselves that want to be where we both might be at?
Yeah. I think like this is really something I've talked a lot about lately, because the coworkers I hang out with at my work, I've gotten really close to, and they're actually younger than me, which is really cool. So I've like, this is the first time in my life I felt like the older person who can give some advice. But like the biggest thing I would say, and like, I see it in you 100%, and I see it in like the intern at my work that I've gotten close to, is like, 100%, I think this job it's competitive. Freelancing's really competitive. If you're in a big city, it's interesting because there's more photographers, but there's more jobs. So it's just like, and then if you're someone who wants like a staff position, which are getting rarer and rarer these days, like I think it's, what I've learned is like, it's 100% doable if you have the tenacity and the ambition to do it. And like, it takes a long time. Like I freelanced for probably 4 or 5 years and felt very, very lost, very broke, very, I didn't really have anyone who could tell me exactly what to, like, give me the steps. And if I follow the steps, I'll get there. But like the biggest thing I learned is like, if you network everywhere you go, if you're very personable, if you're very persistent, if you ask for coffee, like you find all the photographers in your city and you ask all of them to coffee and you keep in touch with them and you care about what they're doing in their lives, like genuinely, like, and the more you just put yourself out there and shoot your shot, like the more I really think the opportunities will come to you. And you also have to like create the opportunities for yourself. So like when I wanted to do photojournalism so bad, but I didn't have any opportunities, I like It took me like a year to get a hold of the editor at a paper in town. And that was my first like photojournalism opportunity, was through this like weekly paper. And so that was me like trying to being persistent for like a year to that editor, being like, please, please, please. And then I finally got my first assignment through them. So I think you just, if you love it and you want it so bad and you're so hungry for it, like you're gonna naturally find ways for it. And like, as far as like what you would tell your parents, like my parents were like they tell me now, they're like, we don't know what you were doing. We were very worried about you. Like, how are you making money? You know, all this stuff. And then they're so like, they're not artists at all, but like they're really, really proud of the position I got, because the Oregonian is like a very reputable. Oh, what?
It's like the paper of Oregon.
Yeah, it is. And like, it's what my parents, you know, have read their almost their entire lives. So like, it's something they were very proud of. So like, I think parents just like hang on for a second and let your kid figure it out. And if they have, if you see them being really ambitious and tenacious, like they will land something that works for them. It just takes time in the in this field. So I know you're freelancing now. Are you, do you want a staff job, or what's your dream?
My dream all time, I have like a life dream, which is to win a Pulitzer Prize. And then like my, I'd say 5 year, 2 to 5 year dream is to start working for AP or Getty. And
Amazing.
right now I'm just seeking freelance opportunities, which is one of the reasons I reached out to you, because I was like, holy crap, this she's doing shit that I'm doing. And they're good, because I went to school with a lot of my classmates and I was the only guy in my group. And I really wish that I went to school with you, because if I was able to go in school with you, then we could, you'd be my competition, because you actually go out and you go out there and do that. And I'm just like, you know, give me, you know, I know this is a patriarchal society and photography is more men than women, but you know, when I see a woman doing damn good work, I mean, it's damn fucking good work. I don't care whether you're a woman, a man, or
Bye.
non-binary.
Yeah, thank you. That means a lot. Yeah, you should like, I don't know if you have already, but just like hound your a the local AP people in your area. I did that, and like only one of them I ever like got in contact with, but
I
they
know
know who I am.
four. I know four of them. I met them at the Obama rally, and I actually ended up going to Kentucky with one of them. That'll be an episode for later, because I misplaced the episode. But I got to go out to Kentucky to go out to Boyd Station for a little bit, and I got to cover stuff out there. And it was just because Jeff Swenson was as a friend of mine. He's been a little MIA and busy, but Justin Merriman, I know him. Stephanie, they're good friends, I'll say, and they've all shot for some really crazy people. I mean, hey, Jeff shoots for the New York Times, and Justin shoots for all the other big papers. I mean, I got lucky enough to be nationally printed with the New York Post. So,
Oh, yeah, congratulations. That's awesome.
yeah, that was
I think like No, go ahead, sorry.
That was last October, but it was still like, I did it. I did it. And it was, yeah,
Yeah.
because I knew the writer and I made friends with the writer, and the writer's there. And I'm like, do you need photos? He's like, I don't see Getty or AP. Here you go.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's like, that's what's really cool is about when you make those connections. Like, I 100% think they should be, and it sounds like for you too, like they should be genuine and like actually care about their lives and whatnot. But it's also like when that some stuff will come up where someone will be sick, or you are at the event and they missed it one, or okay, a good example is my mentor at my job. I really, really like idolize her, and she was on, like, she had surgery and she was on leave for a while. And she told me, she was like, I texted her and I was like, I'm so sorry about your injury and your surgery, and you know, what can I do, and all this stuff. And she was so selfless. Her response was like, I'm so excited for you. I hope you get some really amazing opportunities because I'm out. And I remember being like, Beth, don't tell me that. Like, you're injured. But actually, like, thinking about it, like, she is like, she probably would have been at the ICE protests way more than me if she was here. And so it's like interesting that, like, and then my work at ICE did well. So like, it's interesting that you don't know what's going to happen. So like when Beth was injured like 6 months ago, I was like, oh, that won't happen, nothing. Oh, because she said, because that's what happened to me when someone, when she was my age, someone in her newsroom was out for 6 months and she got a really amazing opportunity with like National Geographic. So that's what she said. She's like, I hope something like that happens to you. And I mean, National Geographic's not hitting me up, but like I have gotten to do some really incredible work because like I was covering for someone that I'm close to. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like it is all about relationships and you never know what's going to happen and when those AP photographers will be gone and national news will break and you had no idea. You know, like, and it's all about just like being ready to seize the opportunity and maintaining those relationships and see that's how you got in, you know, in print, which is huge. So, and it sounds like you're doing all the right things. It just takes like years of nurturing all of that.
Yeah, I have some outlandish goals. The goal is to have Obama on here. So if I can get Obama on here, then stay tuned,
That's
eh?
not outlandish. Do it. Say what you're. Gosh.
I mean, hey, I know I'm gonna be determined next year. I don't think I could get him on just so quick, but I do have a special appearance from someone in New York City that'll be on in February. So I guess stay tuned for that episode because it is going to be on my birthday and you're not going to want to miss it. Anyways, I wanted to talk because so I went out thrifting yesterday and I assume that you're a thrifter, right?
Yeah, that's funny. Yes, I am.
So
Yeah.
I managed to score some really nice shirts. This is not thrifted. This is actually just bought as a gift. But I got some nice sweatpants that you guys, listeners, can't see, but
Nice.
you
Thank
can
you.
imagine, I'm sure, listeners.
They're
And
gray.
you can, yeah, they're gray and they're vintage Aeropostale. And I got those for like $10, and you can get some really gosh dang good deals. So, in your time thrifting, and I'm sure as a photographer with gear, have you found any good deals on like camera gear or like, a 70 to 200 for $10 or, anything
Yeah.
cool like that.
No, not DSLR equipment, but I've thrifted. I'm like looking at it right now. Let's see. I thrifted a Polaroid camera before,
Okay.
like year, like probably a decade ago, like a like the real deal, like the old school one.
Oh, the ones that aren't
That was
being made
cool camera.
anymore.
Yeah, and it was like $25. This was like before they became super popular. That was my favorite. It just broke recently, which is a bummer. Yeah, I've thrifted film cameras like almost my whole time in photography. That was like what my friends and I did was go to Goodwill and like raid the film camera section. And like all my point and shoots, my film ones are thrifted. But yeah, as far as digital, I don't risk it. I don't know. You never know. So
I mean, I was
did
lucky enough and I got a I thrift, but I also do like Facebook shopping and eBay auctioning. And I found the best gosh dang deal one could ever get. My Z6 II that I shoot,
Yes.
$600 with
The body, like,
the body itself.
okay.
$600,
Nope.
six batteries. And only 30,000 shots on it.
Wow. Okay. Very
Like,
impressive. Do you
and
know
I
who?
was the guy that I met, and I showed him my work and showed him my website, and he's like, "Holy crap, you are the real deal. It's gonna go to a good home." And
Aww.
for the photographers that are starting out there, if you're passionate and you might know someone or you're going, show them your work. They're probably gonna be like, at least, it's kind of like rehoming a dog or a cat. As long as it goes to a good home and someone that's going to use it and appreciate it. So yeah, he gave it to me because he was getting another Z8 and he didn't have a use for it. And he didn't have use for the, or no, Z9 because he didn't have use for the batteries. So he gave me that. And I've just been, I mean, I don't think I leave my 24 to 70, I leave it on. I don't even think I use anything else. But yeah, it's finding some really good deals. I found my Razer keyboard at a Goodwill for $10.
Hell yeah, love that.
And what is I got that? I got an LG ultra wide monitor at a Goodwill
Okay.
for
I need one.
$10.
Not and it works.
Yes, and it works. There's a little bit of scuff marks, but it's an ultra wide. I'm happy with that. And yeah, I found a few mics, sold those, resold them, and polished them and all that. But I have fun with that. I love auctions because auctions are cool. I managed to get a Wacom tablet for $100, the large version, the new large version. So though I encourage any photographer, if if you're a photographer, if you're someone that needs gear, go on eBay. Go if you need to learn how to auction on eBay, there's plenty of tutorials out there. There's auto auctioners that, you set your highest price and it'll automatically bid for you. I know I'm technically teaching the competition, but I'm going to encourage anyone to get some good gear because gear is sometimes kind of like the gatekept aspect of photography. Because once you have it, you learn it, you don't really have it anymore. Well, we can always want more.
Yeah, absolutely. No, like I think most of my digital stuff I've gotten from eBay. Not necessarily like I'm not a big auctioner, but just getting it secondhand and getting it like a little bit cheaper is definitely like one of the ways to go. So,
What lens would you get brand new if you could? Yeah, dream lens. What's your dream lens?
Well, right now, this isn't even that crazy. Like it's definitely doable. Right now, I really want a 35, because I don't have one. But
What?
then like, probably. I'm trying to think. Well, I was gonna say like any kind of telephoto lens for concerts. So like probably like a 70 to 200, whatever the lowest aperture possible, it'd probably be like 1.8.
Oh, damn,
But
Canon's making a 2.0.
oh, okay. Yeah, but I mean, that's not in my price range anytime soon. My work has some that that'll get by, but that would be like the dream. So I could shoot far away stuff better, I think. So,
I just bought mine. I have a 160 to 600 f/6.3.
Okay.
And
What have you shot with?
I've gotten to shoot photograph Obama with it. I've gotten to photograph, what is it, Obama, Clinton. I do a lot of birding. I don't do as many birding, but I've done a lot of concert stuff. I whenever I'm actually far away at a venue, I do that, but it's so low light that, I mean, unfortunately I have to push 8,000 ISO, but oh my gosh, denoising software.
I know. Yeah.
But no, it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. And the birding, oh my gosh, wild animals are so much more fun when you're far away because you don't spook them. But you were saying?
Oh, no, well, now I have birding questions, but oh yeah, like I mean, I've been shooting a couple concerts at the big venue in Portland, like the like where like I shot Lorde, and it's like they put you across the entire floor of the venue, so you have to shoot with like I don't know. I wanted to get like an 800 when I was there.
Oh,
What'd you say?
I said a 200 or more.
No, you need like I took the first time I shot it, I took an 800, and then the second time I could only get my hands on like a 400, and my editors were like, "You can do it," and I was like, "Ah, can I though?" And it was fine, but like it's a beast to shoot across. Like think of like an entire basketball arena because I also play basketball there, so it's gnarly, but it's kind of fun to challenge and only have three songs and
Yeah, I've been a little limited because a friend went back on taking their gifts back. I love a good friend when you're in the hospital and he goes into your place, steals back all of his gifts, and says bye. And it's like
Oh
you
my
took
God.
my batteries, you took some of my lenses, and they were gifts, but apparently they were not gifts and they were
From
borrowed.
him?
They were gifts from him, and he then took them back.
Oh, I don't like that.
I don't like that either
So,
because I'm left with three batteries out of
yeah.
the six. I'm not even worried about it, but it just, oh my goodness. And so I just got, as my grandfather has been helping me out. Thanks, Papa, if you're listening. He got me a Godox V1 Pro as a gift, and it, because I was using the 8700. or not ED, what's it called? It's the Nikon flash, which is really good. But oh my gosh, I have yet to really try that V1 Pro, because I usually shoot what is it? Pro Photos, the
Yeah.
A8-10. That thing's awesome,
Yeah.
but I do not have a grand for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and the V1 is like, well, someone told me the price went up, but when I bought it 3 or 4 years ago, it was like 250 maybe, which is like so accessible.
The what is it? If I'm correct, the V1 Pro has like an added light you can attach on the front, and it'll
Oh, I didn't
it's
know that.
it, it's a it's another additional fill flash, so you get the flash on top and then you get the flash here, so you can flash them and get the background as well, which is so cool.
Wait. Okay, I'm adding that to my wish list. That sounds amazing.
Oh no, it's great. And the cool part is it has consistent power pack capabilities.
What does that mean, consistent?
So like you can plug it into a side power pack on your
Oh.
belt, and you'll have, or like I think you could plug it in. There's a thing on the front of it, and you can have constant power.
Wow, that does sound amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, Christmas is coming up, so.
I think it's like 390 something, 370 something. But it's,
Yeah.
I was like, okay, if I don't have a flash now because that was taken, I'm gonna just get this flash, because I know that I can't ask my grandpa for a $1,000 flash, because that's too
Yeah.
much.
Yeah. No, the Godox, okay, so I have the Godox V1C and amazing, amazing. I've had like it's held up for 3 or 4 years, so I highly recommend Godox. They're more affordable, obviously, but like amazing. I couldn't ask for better,
Oh,
so.
yo, Godox, sponsor us. Oh, you know, yes, sponsor us, Godox. And speaking of sponsors, that's a great segue. This podcast is sponsored by Scrimshaw Media. Hold on. I have it here. Scrimshaw Media, where Pittsburgh's photo community comes to create studio rentals, networking events, and creative energy all in one place. You can find them at scrimshawmedia.com and Scrimshaw Media somewhere around the social media landscape. Thank you very much to the sponsor. And we are now going to back our to our scheduled program.
I love it.
Docs, please, if you're listening, give me a ring. I would love some lovely flashes, because then I'd have more modifiers.
One day you'll get
One
there.
day. Oh, but that so we talked about that, but speaking of photojournalism, you seem like so do you like horror films?
Yes, how did you know that?
Let's just say I do my research.
Okay, big horror girl over here. Yeah.
Okay. As evidenced by the way you frame your images when capturing protests, what would the
Oh, wow.
current environment look like if it were to be depicted in a horror movie?
Wow. Well, the first thing that comes to mind is this photo I just took that got like a lot of praise, and I'm pretty proud of it. But it's probably the one you reached out to me too, but it's like this image of like a red smoke bomb that went off at the ICE building, and there's a girl with the American flag around her neck wearing a gas mask, and that's like very, very dystopian feeling to me. So probably that it would be, yeah, I mean, yeah, it'd be interesting to do a horror movie around like protest. I mean, there are some, but like I don't know, very dystopian protesting. I don't know, like, yeah, that'd be a very interesting horror movie, and it would probably look like my image that I'm thinking of, so yeah.
Wow. You should do it. You should do like a mock movie poster of it. That would be so cool.
Okay.
I think
I'm on it.
so dope. And then I think that'd be, you know, I guess we could use it as marketing for the podcast
Okay.
episode. That'd be so dope. A special. Perfect.
Perfect.
We got four,
We can do.
4, 3. Hold on. Duh. 3 weeks until this episode releases. So it'll be 3 weeks out.
Okay, I'll see I think the photo is technically owned by my paper, but if we wanted to look into it, we could look into it. So.
Yeah, no, I'll look at the budget of the podcast, you know, whatever we bring in with monetary stuff, because we're sponsored.
Yeah.
I mean, the sponsorship
Absolutely.
just gives me a studio and some cool, a great friend. He was on it the week before last week, because I had Frank on last week. Anyways, let me see. I'm gonna get an idea of time. All right, we're still good. Just had to make sure.
Cool. I like
Go on.
Oh no, I just don't know what you're gonna cut out, whatnot, so I'm like careful to like
Oh,
I don't
no.
know.
I usually it's really free form. Like I don't do a lot of cutting because I think that when it comes to the podcast, it's just kind of what is and is, and I've thrown some really crazy bits in, and I do a PR check just to make sure. But as long as you don't say a slur, don't say a slur. Not that you would,
Well,
but in
that's a joke. That's a joke. I would know.
That was a
Okay.
joke.
That
That
was
was
a
a joke,
joke.
editors. But
Oh.
I mean, I feel like the goal of this podcast is to just humanize the professional. And if you go and cutting and snipping and all that, then you're more corporate than corporate. So I always try to like keep it very face value as human. And if we make a mistake or say the wrong thing, then it's, you know, at least you know that the other person on the other side of the screen is just as human as you are. That's, you know, you listener, you know, you're human as much as we are.
Yeah. Which is very, it goes back to kind of like journalism ethics of just being like organic and not curated. So I like that a lot.
I mean, it's kind of just, it was a brainchild of mine, and it was just such a cool little thing, because it's, you know, what I did is when I was a kid is I would, when I first started really jumping into photography, because I was a yearbook kid, and I was like, you know what? I just started shooting and shooting and shooting more. I was like, well, I'm going to bring my camera to school all the time. And people were like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. I was like, no, I want to do that. And I just kept shooting, and I was known as the camera kid, and people knew me as that. And I just, the next thing was, is I was like, wait, so if I'm a photographer, how do I know what to do? And what everything told me is go to the best person that's good at it. So I reached out to the local photographer, and then I just kept reaching out. And I always reached out at 16, you know, hey, let's grab coffee. I want to learn from you. I like what you do. Teach me. And I, at the
Yeah.
time, I didn't realize it, but yes, I was going to ask my competition for how I can get better than them, which is exactly what
Yeah.
you're doing. But I think it's very uncommon, and I encourage, like, even if you're not a photographer, go to anyone. If you're a psychology major, if you're a forensic major, find someone that you're interested in. Find the best people in your neighborhood. Find the best people in your county or city or even state, country, and reach out, because
Yeah.
you never know what you're gonna get. Because I mean, hey, whenever I go and get coffee, that's the best way that I kind of put it, is I go and get coffee and I say, surprise me, because I love something new. Because, hey, I have done this at least a good 20 or more times, and I have never been disappointed by the coffee that I get, because I always say, no
Love.
hazelnut. This hazelnut
And there you
sucks.
go. Okay, that's a hot take, but that's okay.
Okay.
But going back to the competition thing, that makes me think of something that's really interesting is like I guess I would say friends with the New York Times photographer of Oregon. I mean, like for Oregon, not officially, but he's like their favorite. And he kind of taught me like he said his motto is like if someone asks him for an email address or you know that's like hey can would you connect me with someone at the New York Times whatever his motto is to always say yes because if he's jealous of competition it should be energy for him to get better is kind of like he's like oh if you're he was like I will give you anything like any address or you know contact you ask for because if I'm feeling insecure that just pushes me. I'm not saying he's feeling insecure about me specifically. He's fine. He's
Oh no,
successful.
he's
But
very
like,
secure about you. You're really that good.
okay. Sure. Okay. Thanks. But like, he's like, I should use that as motivation to better my craft, which is like really interesting. So like, I'm more about like community versus competition. So, and like, just help. I don't know. If someone asks you, like, help them. And I don't know. You'll, I don't know. If you're reaching out to people, who are you view as more successful than you, they're most likely eager to help because they've been in your shoes. So they want to, like, they most likely want to pay it forward because they've probably asked a million people to coffee and stuff like that. So yeah, always, it never hurts to shoot your shot and ask, even if they're a competition. So,
well, I mean, it's just like how I got with my girlfriend. I mean, gosh damn, I was confident as all hell, and I, what is it? We had coffee, and then I asked her for a date. Literally a few days later, I was like, "Okay, yeah, coffee date went well. Dinner?" And she said, "Yeah." I was like, "Whoa, I did that!"
Whoa, that's what happens when you just ask.
Yeah, no, you just kind of. It's not necessarily. It's courage. Courage is looking fear in the eyes and saying, "What you gonna do, bitch?"
Exactly. That's a good movie quote. That'll be the movie quote for our horror movie poster.
Oh my gosh. Looking fear in the eye. Say what you're gonna do, bitch.
Love it. It's my new motto.
You can't take a motto from me. I'm supposed to take a motto from you. You're the one that's best.
Right. No, that's not true. But
no. I admire your work. Your work is incredible. What are your inspirations?
Yeah. That's funny because right above my desk, I have like a mood board of like my women I look up to. My main inspiration of like all time is Lindsay Addario. Do you know who that is?
I feel like I should know, but I don't.
She's like, she's a really, really, really amazing conflict photojournalist. She's still alive. She's probably in her 40s or 50s. And she's done some really amazing work around the world, which is kind of like, that would be my dream. She's done some crazy shit in like the Middle East in the war, been abducted, I think twice. Like she thought she was going to die multiple times, like all this stuff that like really intensive. I don't know if I want to do war, but I really like, one, I really admire her for it. But she also does a lot of like global crises stuff. So like, she did a lot of stuff in Ukraine. She's done some, I have a picture of hers that she took out the border about like border conflict and migration and stuff. So she's like number one to me because I think I would love to be able to tell stories around the world. And then I really look up to, she's not photo, but I look up to this woman named Marie Colvin a lot. Do you know who that is? She was a war journalist, but she was killed in 2012, so a little bit older.
I'm surprised that we don't look at these people in the classes that I took at my university, because the thing is we looked at like Roger Fenton and stuff, but we never looked at like Dorothea Lange, you know, the originals, but not often did we talk about, you know, that. I mean, I never took a photojournalism class. That's the crazy part, is I never took one.
I took one, so I understand that. And a lot of the field is like learning through being in it and learning from other people. But I just really look up to like really badass women who are like trying to, do good in the world through media. So, But yeah, no, speaking of that, I idolize this woman, Marie Colvin, and I dress up as her for Halloween to my office. And like, she's notable to me because she has an eye patch because she lost an eye on an assignment.
Oh my God, but, she's a pirate. She's a pirate.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, I'm walking into the newsroom. Like, everyone will know who I am because it's Marie Colvin and she's amazing. And then no one knew who I was. So I was like, oh, we're not teaching. I don't know. They're not teaching my favorite journalists out there.
No, I don't know of her, and I feel like I should know of her. Like,
Yeah. There's a movie about her, and you should watch it. It's called A Private Life or Private War. Hold on. But that's how I got into her. I'm double checking the name of the movie. This is embarrassing. A Private War. Okay, yeah. Because my dad's really into war movies, and he was like, Allison, like, you would love this one because she's a woman. And I was like, okay, sure, we'll watch it together. And then I was like, oh my God, she's amazing. So I highly recommend that. to everyone. And then Lindsay Addario should be, I think she's well known, but she should be more appreciated than she is. And like something for the listeners, Caleb and I talked about briefly before we started recording, like healthy relationships as a photojournalist. And that would be a really interesting topic because when I just went through, not just last year, I went through like a breakup from a long-term serious relationship. And like the number one thing that helped me through that was Lindsay Addario's book, about like, cause she talks about relations and like your personal life as a journalist and all this crazy stuff. So that's for another episode, but, it's super she's super fascinating. And I look up to her a lot and she's gotten me through personal stuff too, which is crazy. So
it's funny you mentioned these photojournalists. So Jeff Swenson, that I met along the political journey, he's been a huge advisor of mine and just support. And he told me that I reminded him of his best friend, Chris Honduras.
Oh. Okay.
He went out. There's a movie called Honduras, H-O-N-D-R-O-S. I encourage anyone to watch. And it's Jeff's in it, actually. I watched it with Jeff. On Chris Honduras's birthday?
Yeah, birthday.
And
is it a documentary?
It's a documentary about his life and what he did. And it really makes a lot of sense because I didn't know who this guy was, but Jeff always said that I reminded him of his best friend. And it's like, aww. And it's a high regard. Oh my goodness. It was a very high regard. And it means the world to me that I'm, you know, I watched this movie with Jeff and, you know, Jeff's like, that's me. Oh, there I am. And it was just so strange because I mean, a lot of what Chris did is Chris jumped into, you know, he went into the craziest of places. He, you know, snuck in to, you know, cover this and, oh no, he just did what he could. You know, he covered the election. He snuck into the election from what Jeff was telling me. And I have an episode with Jeff, but I don't know where it went. I didn't upload it properly, and that's why episode 5 doesn't exist. So that's the secret in this episode that you're going to hear, that episode 5 was supposed to be a special, but I can't find the episode. So until I can record again with Jeff and hopefully Justin, episode 5 is going to be lost to the test of time.
Oh, that would break my heart.
Oh, you don't understand. Losing that is both having HR, PR, and everyone looking at you, but it's all just you. So it's like, oh, the frustration there. It's like deleting a memory card without importing it. That is the same.
Oh. Worst nightmare. Well, it's happened. So worst thing ever. So I get it.
It's like, I can't get those back. I can't get those back. I can't get those back.
Again, breaks my heart. You get to have them back.
It's not as bad as when you have a kid in a class and you're taking a film class and they open the back of the camera after they're done photographing and they're like, where are the pictures?
Oh, yeah. Been there, too. Yeah.
And you're like, and you look at them and your heart just sinks and all the color comes out of you and you're like, no.
I know. But those experiences are like, they're so frustrating, but they're so humbling to be like, okay. Maybe just be a little, like, it keeps me on my toes. Okay, just think a little bit more next time. Use your brain a little bit. Be really intentional. So, yeah, but it's the worst feeling.
You've got to be intentional and you've got to think about a lot. Like, being a freelancer and all that with what all I do, like, I picked up programming a website just because I wanted to do it. You know, you've got to be a self-starter and, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like I'm begging for competition in my field, in my area, because it's like I have, you know, I'm working my butt off. I got my company, I got all these other things, and I'm very proud. I'm not necessarily trying to be arrogant, but I find that arrogance can come off, or pride can come off as arrogance when someone doesn't know any better.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you should definitely, yeah. It's like it's a fine line, and I'm. Yeah, I think women especially need to be more proud of themselves. But I think there's something really, like, absolutely be proud of yourself and, like, all that you've done. And, you know, you can, like, I don't talk about a lot of my accomplishments, but I probably should, you know? Like, I was kind of taught to keep that under wraps. But, like, just, like, even the most accomplished person in the world, like, I think always has something to learn too. So if you're proud, but also know that like you have a lot to learn and you'll never stop learning, I think that's like, then I don't think that comes across as being cocky. So
Yeah.
yeah, but you have to be prepared and confident to be successful. So
I
yeah.
mean, there's three things in this world that you never stop doing: eating, sleeping. Oh, there's a lot more than three. Never mind. Eating, sleeping, and getting older and learning.
I love that. Yeah.
There's more than three, but I had to think about that, and that really didn't help my situation. So there's probably more than three that the listeners probably know of. But the main one
Yeah.
is learning. You never stop learning, and once you stop learning, you have to reanalyze, because it's like, what happened? What's going on to where you're not learning?
Yeah, and I think that makes a good journalist too. Is like the desire to keep learning and keep asking questions and keep meeting people and keep being curious and questioning things, and never, I don't think it ever stops. So,
It really doesn't ever stop. Let me just get an idea of time. Oh yeah, we're approaching the hour mark, so we can what, 15 more minutes and we're good?
yeah, whatever.
I
Yeah.
want you to be able to get to where you gotta be, because I know how busy that we all can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, when it comes to like mental health, like I find that just with how much goes on, like being in it and wanting to be a part of it, it's what is it? It's a consistent battle against like stillness and taking time for yourself. Whenever you're importing or like anything like that, is there ever a time in which that like you, or maybe you'll be out and photographing, do you ever just take a moment to yourself, or like words of affirmation, or a way to plan yourself out? Because even I find a trouble with that, because it's like you're, you know, you I remember I worked so much during the election, I got sick, and then my editor
Yeah.
screamed at me. And I was like, I was sleeping in my car because I literally could not sleep anymore. And I was driving hours from Erie to Pittsburgh. And I just finished a Kamala rally and I was sick. And oh my gosh, I remember that night. That night was so bad. And then I got home, fell asleep, didn't turn any images in. She was calling me at 3 a.m. telling me, get those images in right now. And I tossed three in the drive and I called it there. And I'm like, hands up. But it's like no one that was there with me. I was there on my own because I was the one that made an effort to. But it's like the fact that I think a lot of photojournalists, and I think a lot of photographers that want to make it, often overexert. So how do you try not to?
Well, I think like years ago when I first got started, I'm a very anxious person. So like when I first started, even though it was just like what, like high school newspaper, whatever it was, there were a couple instances in which I did the same thing where I like worried so much I got or worked up all night for, you know, something that doesn't matter in hindsight, you know, like that I like did overexert myself, and I've gotten sick from that before. And like I think like, I mean, that was t over 10 years ago, so it's like now I've just become a person that very much just like prioritizes taking care of myself, and that's like really important in my friend groups and my in the house I live in, like all this stuff. Like I think a lot of people in my life are very much like rest first, self-care for, you know, self-care first, whatever. But I remember like a good example of that is like, and that's probably why I don't feel burnt out and like why I do love, like I offered to do even more coverage at ICE, because a lot of people at my work can't like get very overwhelmed there. But like I remember a good example is like the first ICE protest I went to, I showed up and I brought snacks for my coworker and I had gotten a Red Bull, I had my phone charger, I had insoles in my shoes, like all the stuff where I was like preparing for like my personal and my coworkers, like, oh, I even timed, this is probably TMI, I timed drinking water, like so I could like, because I was thinking about like bathroom breaks at
Oh
the
my
ICE building, like all
gosh,
stuff, like
yeah.
oh, that's what I was thinking about going there. And then I met my coworker and he was like, okay, I charged all my batteries and I brought this audio equipment, and I like all this stuff. I was like, oh, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't like, obviously all my cameras were charged, but I didn't think about like extra stuff for my work. I was thinking more of like extra stuff to bring to make
Or
sure I could
emotional things,
last
yeah.
them.
To yeah, to
Yeah,
comfortabilities and emotional. I still think that those I'll say everything. So I believe, because yeah, weddings taught me that. Weddings taught me bring snacks and be ready and get good rest, because you know, I always say that if you don't take good care of yourself, how do you expect to be taking good care of the client?
Yeah, exactly. And this is funny, but like the insoles and the shoes is kind of a game changer, because I think like a lot of my older coworkers are like, oh, like it hurts to be out there for hours at a time. And I want to sit down. And I mean, no one's saying that, but I think we're all feeling that. But like having nice shoes and like, I don't know, wearing a beanie so I felt more comfortable, and I don't know, like wearing comfortable clothes, and like it's such a game changer. I think maybe that helps me be able to focus more on images and not like, oh, I'm hangry right now, I wish I could go home kind of thing. So it definitely, you need to prioritize that to be a good artist as well. Because you can't create good work if you're sleeping in your car and sick and needing to sleep and not turn in your photos. You know what I mean? Like, so that's, I mean, but I've been there too. That's not like dissing. That's like, we all do it, but we have to.
It's a learning experience for sure.
Yeah.
To take care of yourself. Yeah. Like, listener, this is going to be a big thing. Like, again, I'm going to be honest with the listeners and say, like, I was in the hospital for about a week because I didn't take care of myself in the proper way, in the proper avenues. I stopped eating. I stopped sleeping. I just wanted to work. I'm a workaholic, and this is like the first time that I'm actually like not overworking myself, because my girlfriend's like, no, rest today. You've done enough. So literally, I'm probably going to get off this, probably going to go relax, because I've had meetings since 1, and I've been enjoying this, and I've just been a lot more calmer. And I think that for everyone's concern, I appreciate all y'all. I'm doing a lot better. Good medication. I'm very good, very transparent. And one thing I've learned, at least, I'm sure you know, Allison, that when it comes to clients, they're going to make sure that you're better because they want you to photograph more, as to working and overworking yourself. Because I was in the hospital and I wasn't worried about me. I was worried about my client. I was like, no, I want to make sure I can get there. And I couldn't. And after I got out, I had a friend reach out for me on my behalf that I had a medical emergency. And they're like, are you okay? That's the first thing they messaged me. And I was just like, yeah, I'm good. They're like, don't worry about it. We have things coming up that you can shoot. I'm like, but I wasn't there. They're like, don't worry about it. You're fine. And
yeah,
it really makes it's such a different look at the world. It's such a different perspective that I have now, because it's like the professional world, you know, that you see in movies and all that, they don't give a shit about that. But in the real world, they do. They really do, because we know how much work goes into that. And I think as professionals, we just want honesty.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, glad you're doing well and feeling better. And sometimes you need that little bit of a like, oh, that I really do have to listen to my body and relax between things to produce good work and, you know, all that stuff. But that also reminds me of like something I really value about my newsroom is like, you know, these protests that we've been covering every day, like, do get violent. And they very much vocalized, like, if you're scared, you go. If you're like, I got gassed a couple weeks ago, and like, oh, honestly, it's kind of fine. But like, my coworker had a bad reaction to it, and they were just like, okay, go, like, leave this. You don't need to be there. Like, all stuff. Like, I even got like some footage that was like a little too close, and my editors were like, okay, Allison, like, you don't need to be right there, like, we'd rather you on the sidewalk, and like all stuff. Which, and so I think that's also probably why I don't feel as anxiety induced there, because I know like if I don't get the shot because I'd rather be safe, or I felt I had to leave or something like that, like, no one's gonna be mad. And I think that's like a really cool modern perspective in the newsroom, and that's like starting to become the norm, which is really cool. And so like, yeah, like, hopefully you work for a place that values you as a person and not just like your ability to make them money. So
I've actually, I covered the protest up at CNU up here in Pittsburgh when Trump was up here, and I may have gotten a little too close, because I was like a few centimeters. That's not on my website yet. But there's a photo of a officer in riot gear grinning, and I'm right next to him, like at least a few centimeters from his, like, his the riot shield and stuff. And so if I was standing on something, so if I fell on him, that could have been perceived as something. And it's scary.
Yeah.
It is very scary. We do, I mean, we all as photojournalists do put a little bit on that. There is some sort of sacrifice in that regard because we know that it is
Yeah.
going to be dangerous. But I mean, I remember at the end, I turned the photos in and they did get published by Technically. So Technically picked them up and I got paid for it. And it was so cool. And my editor, oh, she's like a mom, I swear. She
Yeah, I
was
imagine.
like, she's like, you didn't, she's like, you didn't get hurt, did you? You can come to the office and you bet you, I want to make sure you're fine. I don't want you getting hurt. Do we need to make sure that they didn't hurt you? And I was like, it's good, it's fine. Nothing bad happened.
I love that. Yeah.
It was
That makes
so
it like makes you value the workplace and the place you're working for so much more, because it's like they actually care about your physicality and so, or your physical well-being, so, and emotional.
It was so, and no, that she's like, don't overexhaust yourself. Don't feel like you need to do this. And they have a new intern that's a friend of mine, but he's I tried applying for the internship, but they're a client of mine, so I commit to them. I can't do an internship because they said that I'm too far along, and someone else that needs more help needs to be an intern and not me. And I was like, well, that's a great way to be told no.
Yeah, that's funny. But I still feel like I need guidance. But okay, sure, I'm flattered. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just like the strangest flattery. It's like, oh, okay. And I mean, I don't mind because I've done some really good work with them, and they used photos of Trump and Kamala that I used, and I actually had to go back and give them an invoice because I was talking to another friend, and they were like, "Oh yeah, you should get paid for that if you didn't get paid." And I'm like, "But it's from last." They're like, "No, you send them an invoice." I said, "Oh, I can do that? Oh, cool." So yeah, I got paid for
That's
those.
great.
My prices have gone up. I've just been jumping into the next thing, and the next goal right now is to shoot the Jonas Brothers this weekend. So I'm going to try to get in to
Hell yeah.
photograph that. But I'd love to come up your way if you have any cool things going on there. I'd love to shoot along with you. If the
Yeah.
Organian wouldn't mind me jumping into Job Shadow or whatever the case is.
Probably not. I mean, I've been asked that before and we had to run it by HR, but
I mean,
I forget what the answer
whatever the case is,
was.
you can ask now and then we can know in the future. I'd love to get
Yeah.
along. And I mean, worst case scenario, I go up there, I'll be in Arizona later this year. And so I mean, that puts a trip from Arizona up towards Oregon because my girlfriend loves Twilight. So
Yes, I can show you the Twilight locations. I've been to all of them.
really, oh, that'd be great.
Yeah,
Do some
I've
photo. Oh,
been
you know,
to
I
all of
respect your work. You could do some photos for us, and then I'll return the favor sometime.
Okay, perfect.
Young
We'll
Doubles
text.
photo date. Oh my God.
Be
Yes.
fun.
That would be a blast. And I think you'd like Divine, that's her name. So
Okay, I love her name, so perfect.
oh
Yeah.
yeah. What is it? Divine something? Oh, I forget the middle name. It's really cool.
Very
Anyways,
cool.
I think that's all we have time for because I want you to be able to get to where you gotta get, because I know how meetings are and being late isn't always the greatest feeling, but
Yep.
Let you get out of this, and hope you had some fun. And oh, wait, I'm forgetting the most important question of the podcast. How the
Okay.
hell do you stay caffeinated, you photojournalist?
I drink a lot of black coffee and
From where?
I make it at home.
With
It's
like,
like,
where are the grounds from?
right now I buy Dunkin' Donuts because I'm on a budget or I'm trying to save money. But yeah, or I drink Red Bulls, or in the summer, like yerba mates if it's a long one. So that's,
Wait, what? Oh,
yeah.
what?
You don't know what yerba mates are? You don't have those? Oh, they're like a really highly caffeinated like tea drink, and they're pretty big. They come in probably like 20 ounces maybe. You just get them at like the gas station. But in the summer, I'm like obsessed with them because I don't want like coffee all the time. And they're like, they'll make you go kind of crazy. Like, but they're very natural. It's not like chemical-y. It's, you'll have to look them up. They're good.
Huh.
So.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, listeners, check that out. I guess if you're in the West, because I'm actually from the West Coast, so.
Wait, where are you from?
Cali.
Okay, what part?
All around. My parents moved a lot, but.
Okay, well, I'll send you what yerba mates look like, and then you'll have to look for them because I think they're I've seen them in New York, so you probably have them.
We might. I mean, New York's a little expensive, but I mean, I haven't been out there. I know I'm gonna be traveling a lot because my girlfriend is a C-suite mastermind, so she works for a cool company,
Beautiful.
and so we're both kind of headstrong, and who knows where the hell we're at headed, but we're certainly doing really well because she's a good damn cook.
Oh, good. Yay. That's
Okay,
exciting.
indeed. But again, thanks for coming on. This has been a blast,
Yeah,
and I
thank you
can't
so
wait for
much.
our friendship to blossom more.
Yeah, I had a great time. Thanks for asking me to come on. So.
Yeah, we'll talk more. I mean, obviously, we're gonna end the podcast here. But anyways,
Yeah.
thanks for watching, guys, and or watching, listening, imagining, being here with us and enjoying this wonderful conversation. If you want to be on, please reach out to contact@mcc-cal.com or reach me out on Instagram at mcc_cal. And where can they find you, Ellison?
I'm a big Instagram girl. My username pretty much anywhere is Alessander. It's spelled Alliisonder. So it's that on Instagram, Blue Sky X, TikTok, all the things. So
Yeah, at least it's universal. That's a plus. And yeah,
yeah.
I know that she has a few exhibitions on a few websites, so definitely check out, what is it, the pink something? Oh my gosh, what is it called?
Pink things?
Yeah, the pink things. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bit ago.
Yeah,
Yeah, that was my old.
Well, no. Yeah, guys, check out Pink Things by Allison. It's some early work of theirs, but of hers. And wait, they, them, her, her.
Sure.
Fear,
Yeah.
sorry.
Sure.
Her
No.
work, and yeah, check that out. It's really interesting. Also, check out their Instagram because I think that it's so good.
Thank you. Thank
Anyways,
you. It's good to know you.
yeah, again, thanks again, guys, and remember to stay caffeinated. See you guys.